the word of the Lord.
We're about to participate in the reading of the Passion Story. And just a note, the bold portions are what the congregation speaks, and other people have their roles, and they'll just sit in their pews and speak their lines. So we're about to hear once again the Passion Story, which is really God's passion for all of humanity, revealed through the death and resurrection of the man named Jesus of Nazareth. What are we supposed to do with this ancient story of the execution of one man? Well, first, if you think that if you were there, you would have responded differently, I would ask you to reconsider. Because the whole point of reading this together is that the folks who crucified Jesus were just like us, with our same blindness, narrow-mindedness, self-centeredness, and hard-heartedness. Martin Luther would say, "Oh, so you don't think you'd really do that, huh? Well, that's only because you know the end of the story and how great Christ is. Well, then, why don't you do it now? Because you have Christ in your neighbor." We read the Passion Story together so that we can see ourselves in the people there. Take Peter, full of loyalty and good ideals, until it affects him personally. And then he basically says, "Not in my backyard." Take the high priest, full of protectionism and conservatism. He basically says, "This is my religion, this is my church, don't tell me what to do, God." Take Pilate, the Roman foreign governor, the ruler, trying to please the crowds, trying to keep a lid on things, trying to make everybody happy, and frozen as a result. Take Judas, the clever strategist, always looking for an angle to one-up the neighbor and get something for himself. And this human sin happens every day by us and to us, just as it did an innocent man 2,000 years ago who got executed because of human sin. But Christians confess that we don't think of him, it wasn't merely the execution of a man, but somehow, in a way that we can't really grasp, this one was actually of God. God himself was executed by people just like us. We read the Passion Story today not to inspire us to overcome our flaws, but to admit them, to simply see reality, to see as God sees us, the truth, captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. But we call this coming Friday Good Friday for a reason. The reason we shouldn't merely feel guilt or condemnation when we read this Passion Story is because we can't pretend that Easter isn't around the corner, right? Which turns everything upside down. There's no length to which God wouldn't go to prove to us, Peter and Judas and Pilate and the high priest and the disciples, that we are forgiven and loved and embraced just as we are. So this death is also a new beginning. It's our new beginning. Take the centurion, He's the one who speaks for the believer that God raises up in each of us, the one with an eternally fresh beginning. So go ahead and see yourself in this story. See all of your flaws. See the world's evil. See us do our worst. But know that we don't have the last word. Amen. The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said,
"Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people."
While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger,
"Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor."
And they scolded her. But Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want us to go?
So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them,
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
So the disciples set out and went to the city, and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed, and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them,
"It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes, it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one had he not been born."
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said,
"Take, this is my body."
Then he took a cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all become deserters, I will not."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, You will deny me 3 times.
But Peter said vehemently,
even though I must die with you, I will not deny you.
And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples,
sit here while I pray.
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them,
I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake.
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said,
Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want.
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See? My betrayer is at hand.
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, so when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
Rabbi,
and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled.
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none, for many gave false testimony against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying,
we heard him say, I will destroy this temple.
But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?
But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?
Jesus answered,
I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, and coming with clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
why do you still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?
All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, prophesy. The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said,
you also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth.
But he denied it, saying,
I do not know or understand what you are talking about.
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
But again, he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter,
"Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean."
But he began to curse, and he swore an oath.
"I do not know this man you are talking about."
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He answered him,
"You say so."
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again,
"Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you."
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, Pilate used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them,
"Do you want me released for you, the king of the Jews?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again,
"Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted back,
"Crucify him."
Pilate asked them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole Roman cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head, and they began saluting him.
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They struck his head with a reed, spat on him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Aha, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
"He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that he may see him and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema, sabachthani,"
which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he is calling for Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome. These used to follow him and provide for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.